Now back to the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap on 95.7 The Game.
It's the golden hour of the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. Sam Lubman alongside Dan Devone, Steven Rizzotto pushing all the buttons behind us, or behind the glass, sorry.
Can I say something about ABS? You just mentioned ABS.
I did just mention ABS because we were talking about the really short player for what was the White Sox, right? In like 1937?
51.
Close enough.
And it was,
what was the White Sox, right?
It was Bill Veeck, but I don't think it was the White Sox. Smallest player to appear in a St. Louis Browns.
Okay, Eddie Goodell.
Eddie Goodell.
You see, Rizzotto knows together. That.
Yeah. So you mentioned ABS. You know what I've been watching, which I'm not sure if you're a World Cup guy, but I've been watching the World Cup, and I have to tell you. And
I've been dabbling.
I watch it on Telemundo, which is...
Oh, absolutely. That's the best way to watch.
Absolutely the best. And it's so uninterrupted. And to see that there's no instant replay. They can go to it, but they never do. I haven't seen, I've watched about, I don't know, maybe 8 matches, and not once has there been instant replay. But to watch an entire sporting event uninterrupted, including no commercials, no instant replay, I'm thinking, my God, this is the way it should be. I get it. We're all consumed with video replay and ABS, and now it's the NFL, the NBA.
Well, there's some replay in soccer, but not
there is, but it's very minimal. I've watched about 6 games in its entirety, and it goes the full 90 minutes, and then, of course, they add on the extra time. But it was so pleasant to watch a sporting event that didn't have stoppage every 5 minutes. In the NBA, there's nothing worse. Was that a flagrant foul? I don't know. And
let's spend the next 20 minutes staring at a video screen.
Just, it was, that's my little, my 2 cents of the day.
Well, I think it's always funny, like, yeah, when you watch soccer and there's no commercials and it's so seamless, and I think part of it is only a few moments in each game that's even, like, worth replaying, but I always remember as a kid watching NFL football, when I first got into it, it's like, why does it seem like there's a commercial after every play? Mm. My favorite is, like, those moments where it's like, touchdown, go to commercial, kickoff, go to commercial, like, yeah. There's just too many damn commercials. Like, people would always bitch and moan, like, oh, these baseball games are too long. Well, yeah, let's maybe not stuff 4.5 minutes of ads in between innings.
Well, maybe that's things how they make their money. It's all sponsorship.
But... we had an argument on the morning roast yesterday morning about the hydration break. Are you for it or against it?
What is that?
So, like halfway through each half in the World Cup, they've been doing hydration breaks, where they stop the action for like 3-4 minutes and let the players drink some water.
Or they take a timeout.
Yeah. It's basically turned soccer, which is supposed to be a sport based off of 2 halves, into a sport of 4 quarters, essentially. Because, you know, about the 20 to 25 minute mark, they do the hydration break. And then around the 70-ish minute mark, they do, the 65 to 70-ish mark, they do another hydration break.
Well, before I say don't like it, why did they implement it?
Well, I guess it was FIFA implemented it back in 2022 when the World Cup was in Qatar because reasons. The reasons being, hey, FIFA's corrupt. And so they had it in Qatar, which
I thought you were going to say, yeah, it was because they needed to be replenished.
Yeah, no, because it's hot in Qatar.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wow, we had the World Cup in one of the hottest places in the world. Yeah, let's do it, which makes sense. Again, the reason that the World Cup was in Qatar was because there's like, hey, FIFA, what if we give you a bunch of money to hold the tournament at a place where it never should have been held in? Let's do that. That won't go wrong. And many, many human rights violations later, Qatar was the host of the World Cup. And so I guess they're bringing that to this World Cup here in the Americas, Mexico, Canada, and America. And yeah, some soccer fans have not liked it because it makes the 2 halves feel like 4 quarters, which obviously flies against what soccer's supposed to be about.
Traditional soccer, yeah.
Yeah, it's supposed
to be the same way. I have a really quick on Qatar. I have a friend who flew out and was at a hotel and is going to the match coming up on Wednesday with the United States. Is that Wednesday?
Oh, down at San Francisco Bay Area Stadium.
Yeah, so he went to Levi. I'm not sure what match. Oh, it was Qatar. He went to go see Qatar, speaking of which. And he said in the hotel, there are all these sheiks, right?
Fun.
Full-on headgear and like hundreds of them. Not one woman. Not one female.
That sounds like a place.
Right.
That it does. That it does. But anyway, yeah, so we got into a big argument about that. I'm not a big soccer guy, yeah. Dan. As soon as the World Cup's over, I'm going to stop pretending that I care about soccer and go back to living my life as I normally do, which is enjoying sports that are not soccer. I am as casual.
I like soccer.
A casual. Yeah, I mean, you told me about how your story about how you went to a match in, what was it, England or whatever, and it completely changed your opinion of how soccer is. I remember I went to a Portland Timbers match a few years ago and seeing how they get in. It was like, yeah, I can see how people can get really into soccer. I'm not, but I can see how others do.
What's fascinating about the World Cup, and maybe this is sort of an indictment on me in geography, I didn't realize all these countries are in this world that I have no idea where they're from. Like, are you kidding me? Cape Verde is a country?
Yeah, it's
like,
off the coast of Africa.
I had no idea. Or who's this? Bosnia now has
Bosnia-Herzegovina. Yeah, they're one of those Balkan states or whatever, and around like Albania and Croatia.
Boy, you're much smarter than I am. Countries are just
all those
really
former Ottoman Empire nations. One of those ones there.
Ottoman
but
Empire. I love the Ottoman Empire was rebuked by the Austrians. Defeated.
Oh, who cares?
So here's a little nugget for you.
Hey, let's learn some history lessons
right?
today.
So the Austrians were able to defeat the Ottoman Empire. We all know the Ottoman Empire just ruled the world essentially for
centuries. They were big time for a long time.
And so, despite the Ottoman Empire, which essentially was the Turks, right? Or they were of the Muslim faith, and so they had the crescent shape, right? Which was their symbol, the crescent.
Okay.
They created, and this is the Austrians that created this, the croissant. And the croissant, this baked good, was done in spite of, essentially because they defeated the Ottoman Empire and stole, essentially out of spite, made this little, this baked good of this crescent. And then forward 100 years later, where Marie Antoinette marries into French royalty, brings this Austrian baker who replicates the croissant, which was created in Austria, but now is affiliated and associated with France.
I did not know that about the croissant.
Look it up.
So the whole... So what you're saying is the croissant was basically built out of pettiness.
Exactly.
Oh, I love that.
All right.
No wonder croissants are so yummy. It's because of all the petty that's in them.
And the butter.
Speaking of petty... No, this isn't petty.
Speaking of Ottoman...
Buster Posey. That was easily my worst transition ever. We've been asking the question, are the Giants better off with or without Rafi Devers? Are they better off with or without Tony Vitello? I think there's some jury still out on Tony, though it's trending in the wrong direction right now after 81 games.
With you, the jury's out, not with me.
There's still 81 games left. I'm simply giving him a full 162 before I render my judgment.
What if he had a big honker and warts and was balding?
Dog, give me that big honker, baby.
I'm just saying, I think the opinion would be, this guy sucks.
Listen, I base baseball merits off of it's, if you know ball, you know ball. If you don't know ball, you don't know ball. I do believe that Tony Vitello knows ball. I don't know if he knows it at the big league level, but right now this is not trending in a good direction. It's trending in a direction where none of this is working. Maybe you got to wipe the slate clean coming into next year with a whole new cast of characters running the show. That is kind of where this is careening at to right now. I'm not saying that is going to happen. I'm a Giants fan. I'm going to root for everyone to figure it out so we can do this again next year, but properly, not with the same raw. Right now, I would be in favor of keeping Tony Vitello next year. This year, you learned your lesson. Let's figure it out next year. Rafi Devers, I do think this team would be better off moving off of him just because it allows you to fully focus in on Bryce Eldridge. And I just don't know if he's truly a fit with this organization, with this culture here in San Francisco. But Buster Posey, are the Giants better off with or without him? I love Buster. He's forever going to be one of my favorite athletes in Bay Area sports history. Gave me countless great memories. He will have a statue outside this ballpark someday. His 28 should never be worn by anybody in the orange and black ever again. I look forward to him getting inducted into the Hall of Fame someday.
But that's part of the issue, what you're saying right now.
Well, I'm getting there.
People are conflating the two.
I separate the two. Buster the player is not Buster the executive. Buster the... Like, Chris Mullin with the Warriors is separated from his greatness as a player from his time as an executive, which was an absolute disaster. No one thinks about Mully as the failed executive of the Warriors anymore. I do not believe that Buster's legacy with the Giants is going to be the failed executive. It's going to be the great baseball player who took a job that maybe in hindsight he probably should not have taken. I love that he wanted to come back in and be the guy to pull this team out of the doldrums. I love that he saw where this organization was going under Farhan Zaidi and took it upon himself to be like, I can't stomach this. I can't stand to see what this organization that took such great care of me for all those years, had so much success, created this great run, these three championships. Like, Buster is a Giants fan. He's not just playing for the team. He is a true fan. How many fans have wanted to say, let me manage this team? How many fans have fired up MLB The Show and gone to GM mode just because they want that thrill of being able to say they could fix their team? Buster did that. And I'm always going to be grateful that he took it upon himself to do that. That does not guarantee a happy ending, unfortunately. And I think what we're seeing right now is a guy who the desire was there. Kind of a lot like Hank. Hank had the passion. Don't know if he had the process. Love Buster, what he's trying to bring to this team. It's just not working out. And I think you're seeing a lot of that lack of experience really blowing up in Buster's face. Overpaying for Willy Adames. Jumping on the Rafi Devers situation when there were so many red flags. Buster thought, hey, here's a situation where I can finally get that star hitter we've been looking for, that we've been missing, and I'm going to pounce on the Red Sox in duress. And the Red Sox were like, well, hey, yeah, we'll gladly let you take our trash. We're not going to call it that because we want to sell this guy. But Buster, in a sense, kind of got duped a little bit on thinking that he could fix Rafi Devers. He's not the first executive to do that, but he was also an experienced one. And I think this, Dan, really kind of goes to show the importance of hiring experienced people to do this job. It's why I think Farhan didn't work out here, because he was an experienced in that particular role. And it's starting to wear on. We're starting to see it with Buster Posey.
So what does this mean? Do you bring him back next year?
Right now, I'm going to sit on the fence. The jury's still out. Because, Dan, I still think Buster can turn this around. If he can move off of Rafi Devers and Willy Adames at this trade deadline, yeah, I will consider that a clean slate. I also think there's another guy. You got to move off Robbie Ray, because he's not coming back at all.
Oh, that's a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, no, you're not getting draft pick compensation for him because you're not going to offer him a qualifying offer. So Robbie Ray is absolutely gone. And then
you'll get quality in return for him.
Oh, no, I'm saying, like, when you hit free agency, you can extend the qualifying offer to players, and then he can either, the qualifying offer is going to be around $22 million this year.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about the trade deadline.
Yeah. But no, the reason why, like when the Giants didn't trade Madison Bumgarner, words, Sam, let's say them, in 2019, part of it is they wanted to keep Bum along with Bochy. But the other part of it was the belief was they could extend to him a qualifying offer going to free agency. When he signs another team, they get draft pick compensation for him. And the belief was that draft pick compensation is going to be equal to whatever the player they would get in a trade. That will not apply for Rafi Devers, or not Rafi, Robbie Ray. Robbie will not get a qualifying offer. There will be no draft pick compensation attached to him. So he's absolutely gone. Elliot Ramos, I think you got to move off of him too, just to leave some log jams there as well. If you move those four guys, extend Arias, I'm willing to run back with Buster.
Well, you can extend Arias.
If you can move off those other two infielders first. If you can't find takers for Rafi and Willie, you're going to have to bite the bullet and make the unfun choice or unfun move of trading Luis Arias. And that's going to suck, but that's just the reality of the situation.
So
Buster can turn this around. The farm system is getting better under him. And I do think Buster's going to put more of a...
So he can turn it around by correcting his mistakes. Is that what you're saying?
You don't want to be in this situation.
Got it.
But right now, yes, I would give Buster the chance to at least clean this up a little bit. And if he can't do that, then you're going to have much more difficult conversations at the end of the year.
Well, who's going to fire him, considering he's ownership?
Well, they're not going to fire him in terms of, like, your Buster, your key card doesn't work, you can't come into the ballpark anymore. It would probably be more of a, it'll be termed as a reassignment, or my guess is he would come out and say, I'm stepping down from the role. So let him, they'll play it off as he's stepping down or stepping back or whatever, when that it's a firing without saying that you're fired. He's not going to be banished from the ballpark or anything like that.
I think between the two, if you're telling me, is it Vitello, or you're asking me if it's Vitello or Buster Posey, I think you know how I feel about Vitello. There is no reason that this guy should come back. He has shown me nothing as to why he should be a major league manager, certainly at the San Francisco Giants. Buster Posey, for whatever reason, I think that the fact that he was so aggressive in trying to turn this team around and make changes and they haven't worked out there's risk involved in that. And I understand that. And it has, it's not gone his way, but I do give him some credit for at least getting out there and trying to make the change, as opposed to someone like that voted, as we saw over the last 6 years with Farhan, who would just sort of sit complacently and just let things, he wouldn't change things. So I'm willing to give him a little bit more leeway, at least another year, but I don't have the same sentiment when it comes to Vitello. I think Vitello's got to go. But do we lose? Where'd Pasta go?
He is answering a phone call right now.
Pasta's had tremendous insight today. Yeah. I think we'd go to him.
And Killian joined Willard and Dibbs the other day after Buster Posey's press conference in the dugout that did not go very well. And I think, Dan, to your point, you bring up a point that she kind of got into, was just like, I do think that he thought that he could make this team really, really good, really, really fast.
Mm.
I think he thought that this team was further along in its development than
I don't have
it
an issue with
was.
That.
Yeah, what I think happened is he realized, and I've said this before, he bit into this team and realized, oh crap, I bit into a bad apple. And he misevaluated this. Maybe someone who's been in this job for a lot longer, I'm going to throw a random name out there that would never be in this situation, but Dave Dombrowski washed up on the shores here of McCovey Cove and took over the Giants job a couple years ago. I don't think Dombrowski's looking at this roster saying, yeah, they're a couple players away. I think Buster really wanted to believe that this team was a couple players away and tried to steer things in that direction and ignored the reality, or maybe didn't see the reality. I don't know if this is a lesson learned or a situation where Buster's in over his head. And Killian joined Willard and Dibbs the other day, and even she's expressing doubts now on Buster's capability to do this job.
I've always thought so until yesterday, and now I'm not sure. I mean, I've known Buster Posey since he was introduced in that very same dugout after he got drafted in 2008. He came in there in 2010. I was around that team all the time. A professional, mature beyond his years, cool in every situation. He was rattled. He was shaky. He was irritated. He was nervous. He looked like he was surprised. Like, I'm sorry. If he's surprised, he's not reading the room. He came off as tone deaf. His statement about, you know, differing perspectives sound very both sidesy, you know, which, I mean, it probably did more damage to his reputation than this disastrous season and everything that's happened since he's been the president of baseball ops. I was really surprised, because that was not the Buster Posey that I have been accustomed to seeing for getting close to two decades now. I mean, I was a little surprised.
I think a lot of us believe that because Buster has the baseball acumen that he would just slide into this job and it would work out really, really well. Shasky and Keith Law got into a back and forth last year when Keith Law kind of expressed skepticism over why Buster would jump in on the Rafi Devers deal. And we since had Keith Law back on, and Shasky's like, sorry, man, you were right, which, you know, neither here nor there. But it just kind of goes to show we all had this belief here that, well, it's Buster. And I think that's in a part what the Giants as an ownership group wanted us to think. Well, it's Buster. Of course he'll figure it out. He has the golden touch. But as we've seen with a lot of players, Dan, and there's a reason why only five teams employ former players as executives. Just because you're a player doesn't mean you have the aptitude to build a roster.
No, it's two entirely different animals.
You know, that's part of it. And the five teams, you get Buster Posey, Craig Breslow with the Red Sox. That's not going really well right now. Chris Young with the Rangers had that 1 year. But that's not really going well right now. Jerry DePoto with the Mariners, yeah, he's pretty solid, but the Mariners, they're still not quite there yet, but they had a pretty good team. Jerry
he's
DePoto,
good, though.
He is pretty good. And Chris Getz with the Chicago White Sox, he's actually turning things around. So of the five former players who are running baseball teams right now, 40% of them can say that they're having success. Giants, unfortunately, they're not in that 40%.
I would say overwhelmingly the majority of successful general managers or president of baseball ops, I always say this, are guys that come out of Ivy League colleges, guys that are bean counters. These are, you're talking about guys like Neander from Baltimore. You're talking about all of these other guys, Freeman,
Dombrowski.
These
yeah.
are guys that are well educated, that do it. It's not about your baseball acumen as a player. It's about your acumen in terms of so many different things, the minutiae that goes into this, and thinking about things that are three steps ahead. This is an entirely different sort of skill set that's required to be successful at this yep. level. And so what it is that you did on the field or between the lines, to me, has no carryover. And when you look at all of these guys who are successful, that's not the pedigree. So I don't know what the Giants were thinking at the time. I was pretty vocal here on the air when they made the hire. I was on the air that day, and I didn't think it would work out. And here we are, you know, a year and a half removed, and it's heading the wrong direction.
Let's go to Sean in Fremont here. He's got some thoughts on the Giants. Sean, how you doing this morning, man? You're on the wrap.
I'm doing good. I like how you guys, every Saturday morning, I know you guys are going to get into it and all things Giants. And yeah, I can actually completely agree on Vitello as far as, like, he's in over his head. And I think he's, at the end of the year, if they finish like 20 under, you're telling me you're going to bring Vitello back? The difference with going straight from college to the pros, like, it's, you know, are you a better recruiter than you are a baseball coach? Actually, you're talking about high-level baseball, completely different game. Wooden bats. Right, the game changed. Like, you got to, you understand, Tennessee, 50% to 60% of the teams they played had less talent than them. It's not like that in major leagues. So the other thing is, I wouldn't just dump Ramos. I understand the fire sale mentality, but he's only 26, still has club control, back to back 20 homer seasons. You know. That's my thoughts on Ramos, but yeah, I appreciate you guys.
Well, hey, Sean, interest. really quick, I want to ask you a follow-up on Ramos. Just what do you think is going to be the better version of Elliot Ramos, the version we've seen the last 2 years or the version we're going to see over the next 2 years?
Well, I just wouldn't – you're going to sell low on him right now. He's coming off the eye. You're going to sell low on a 26-year-old?
That's a good point.
He still has room to grow. That's my point on him. He still has room to grow. Yeah, Devers, you're going to have to eat some money on Devers if you want a decent prospect.
I agree with you there, Sean. Thanks for the call, Sean. Really appreciate it. We're getting up against it here.
Getting to your point when you said, yeah, Vitello would be more successful if it was a younger roster. You know essentially what it is that you're saying in a roundabout.
No. I don't say it would be more successful. I think that would be a better fit for him to better have. I don't want to say, like, if he had this kind of roster, he would definitely have these results. I think it would have been a better fit for him. But then again, as I say that, I also think, again, throw him on a team like the Royals or the Angels, like a small market team that expectations are lower, that's in a rebuild, instead of thrusting me into a big market team where the expectation with these big name contracts is win right away. I don't know if this was the best full-on situation for him to come into. So right away, he's behind the eight
ball.
Well,
essentially what it is, the way I interpret that, when you talk about him inheriting a team that is younger and has guys who are in their early 20s, essentially what you're saying is, you're sort of echoing what it is that I feel, is that he's a college manager.
Yeah.
Like, he's good with younger players. There is not, you can give me the youngest roster, whether it's the White Sox or whomever, Major League Baseball. There are some veterans on that team.
Mm-hmm.
There are some veterans that have key roles. So at some point, even with a young roster, you're going to have to deal with seasoned guys, which he looks as though he has no idea how to handle that relationship.
I think he's better at it with some than others, but you got to be with all of them. And, like, I do think that guys like Matt Chapman and Logan Webb, you know, they're, for whatever bumps they've had this season, like, I can see those being guys who are like, you know what, I want to try and get behind Tony on this one here, but it's been a frustrating go here in this first season. We'll wrap things up on the wrap on the other side. 30 minutes to go. Sam Blum alongside Dan Devone. It is the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. And we'll wrap up the show on the other side. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
Now back to the best Giants talk in the Bay. The Orange and Black Weekend Wrap on 95.7. The Game.
Well, sometimes I get a good feeling. Doesn't usually happen at Giants games, though. I've been at so many games this year that they've lost. I might be, but such as it is, I'm still going to keep going. Because that's all you can do as a fan, Dan. Just
can I ask you
pick yourself up and keep going, only if I can give you an answer.
About the hair?
About the what?
Hair?
Hair? Oh, absolutely.
At what point, will you cut your hair at any point in the near future? Or
probably.
When do you make this decision?
I have no plans to.
That's awesome.
At some point, you know, I'm going to keep growing it out until I get tired of it, and I have yet to get tired of it. I enjoy it a lot.
So you're like, we mentioned Forrest Gump earlier. Remember Forrest Gump would just run and run and run, and all of a sudden he just stopped.
Had the long hair. Yeah, no, one of these days are like,
I don't want to.
I'm kind of tired. I think I'm going to stop now. Let's not grow my hair out. Yeah, we'll see how long I can get it before I get tired of it.
And, how long there's got to be, how long will it go?
I don't know. right now, this is as long as it has been right now. Like, it's,
are you like Rapunzel?
It's not quite the longest it's been. Last year, it was maybe an inch or two longer than it's at right now. It got really, really long last year.
It was longer last year?
And I trimmed it back a little bit. Yeah, you got to trim it back every now and then. And the last haircut I got last September, she took off a little bit more than I kind of wanted her to. The person who I go to, my mom set me up with her hairstylist. Because there gets to a point when you're growing your hair out, you don't go get haircuts anymore. You don't just go to your normal barber shop and get a haircut. You got to go to a hairstylist who's, you know, able to do a more, you know, probably meticulous haircut, I guess. I don't know if meticulous is the right word, but so yeah, you get different kinds of hair.
Are there women that are envious of your hair?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's fun.
Wow.
I enjoy it a lot. You know who I'm always envious of?
Wait, real quick, before you make this awesome transition. When you do cut it and you come in the 95.7 the game in the morning,
breaking news sounder?
No, you cannot say anything to anybody. No warning ahead of time. It's just got to happen.
Oh, absolutely.
Naturally.
No, the day it happens, I'm not giving any heads up.
Oh, but when he cuts it, you only trim it by an inch or two. Are you talking about doing a complete overhaul?
Right, do the full-on.
Oh, you will? Yeah. Okay.
There's going to come a day if I'm still working at this station and it happens. Oh, absolutely. I'm not giving any heads up. I'm just going to walk in one day and, well, I'm always the first one in every morning. So what's going to happen is I'll be sitting in the producer studio, typing away, setting the station up as I do every morning. And Carter will walk in and he'll be like, oh my God, you cut your hair. Oh, Lovett cut his hair. Then Spadoni will come and it's like, oh, Sammy, you cut your hair. And then Shassy will come in and I don't know what he'll say, but he'll probably be like, Doggy, you cut your hair.
How different are
you? The future.
I'm pouring wet.
There you go. That's probably what he'll say. But hey, Dan, what's popping? I said, because we got Mitch on the line. Mitch in New Jersey, what's popping?
What's popping? What's cracking? How you guys doing?
It's going good, Mitch. How's it cracking with you?
It's all good. All right, trying to lose a few pounds here in the gym.
Hell yeah! I think
I'm delaying, postponing, procrastinating.
What machine are you on right now?
Yeah, I'd rather talk to you now.
What machine are you on right now?
Leg machine.
On the leg machine.
Leg
right.
Machine.
Leg press.
I've always had skinny legs. I don't know what you call it.
Hey, Mitchie.
Doesn't skip leg day.
Do you have any of the pretty little fillies out there? The women, do they look at you as you're working out? Is there any sort of eye contact? Any sort of weird tension going on there? Do you guys check each other out in the gym?
I think during the summer here, I think the school kids.
Oh, God.
I am not getting myself.
Let's talk about the Giants here. What do you got on the Giants?
They're in better shape than me and the Giants. Well, first of all, Schmidt and Ash Eldridge are untouchables. What's taking so long to start trading our veterans? These Devers overpay, Adamas. Send them away. Just start trading. Get some on prospects. Webb is okay. I like Jack Webb. He's cool. And what about Scoble is on the market. So is Corey Seager. And I'm sure eventually Skennis from the Pirates is going to be on the market unless they can fix. And it's not a strike. It's a lockout. It's the owners. They're the ones that have to fix it. Otherwise, there'd be no next season. There won't be a season next year. But I don't know. We're tanking. We're not even trying too hard to tank. So I don't know whose prospect is going to be delayed. I don't think it's going to be a Bob Horner come up this year.
Bob
Horner. If I make any sense, I don't know if I'm making sense here. What is taking so long?
R.I.P.
I don't think
Bob
firing
Horner.
The manager. Bob Horner, you remember him?
The ASU.
Mike Trout.
Yeah, Bob Horner, right. Third baseman. Didn't he have the last five home run game? Four home run. No, he had two 4-home run games, I think. He had the last 4 home
Pretty
run
good.
Game, I think, yeah.
No, he didn't need any minor leagues. He's like LeBron. Didn't need any college ball. Mike Trout and Harper, they were kept in the minors too long, in my opinion. But we got to start dismantling this team, and it's not the manager. I think the manager's okay. He's his first time. It's like that panic like the Mets have. You see what the Phillies have done. They turn around with Donnie Boy. But
yeah.
Firing the manager is not the answer.
Well, you know, you're right, because the Phillies, they got rid of their manager and he comes in to steal your phrase, Donnie Boy, and they've turned it around. They're like 4 games behind the Braves.
Yeah, well, that's a completely different roster with a better bullpen. So yeah, that's the situation.
Mitch, you got anything else?
Even the Knicks. Even the Knicks eventually won something after 53 years, but hopefully the Giants won't go that long.
Hey, Mitch, you into the World Cup?
Not at all.
Jeez.
There's no
you
know world. There's
Mitch, you brought up Tarek Skubal. Were you insinuating the Giants should be in on Tarek Skubal?
Yeah, he was.
Why not?
I don't know if they're in a position to. I don't know if they're in a position to be giving away prospects right now, Mitch.
Well, I don't think the Tigers have a lot of leverage because he's going to walk for free. They don't want to do what the Angels did.
Well, no, the Tigers are going to trade Tarek Skubal. It's just that they're not going to trade him to the Orange and Black team. I don't want to say what team he's going to get traded to because it's going to ruin everybody's day, but he is going to get traded. I do want to answer your question, though, Mitch. You brought up why aren't we trading the veterans yet, and that's because, simply put, teams like to wait until the deadline to make those kind of moves. That's just how the business works.
That's right. And you said, well, one thing about the World Cup, though, I hope you think this makes sense. Why is it a World Cup when it's not world peace? It's just too much going on. It's too much sadness going on. It's
Yeah, that's you're right on that one, Mitch. Hypocrite. Thanks for the call, Mitch. Hypocrite. Appreciate it. Can't have World Cup because there's no world peace.
What if Iran has skinny legs?
What if Iran played the United States in the finals?
Oh, I want that so bad. Oh my God! First block shot that Iran has. That's their second best block of the year.
Wow!
They call it the $300 billion game or match, I guess.
This was not one of Mitch's best calls, by the way. He can't go near schools anymore.
A rough start, man.
Yeah,
he's one of those guys.
Hey, Tony Vitello, we're 81 games in. How would you assess the season at the halfway point?
Capable of doing anything. I felt like tonight would have been one of our best wins of the year going into the game if we could have won it, just because there's been enough hours between yesterday and today, but... It's kind of the one last category of a box we need to check of coming off a little bit of heartbreak, coming back the next day and punching back or whatever you want to call it. But we've had comeback wins. We've had Terang up with the tying run at third, one out. We've come back from a big margin. We've had walk-offs. We've had good road wins, good home wins. So capable of doing anything. But now we're reaching a part of the season where you got to have a little bit more sense of urgency. And like I said, at least for me and the conversations I've had with folks, everything's day to day for me, and just got to look for any area we can improve, even if it's just an inch, even if it's just looking at a couple of those runner and scoring position at bats or communicating on a play or anything else that you could come up with.
So that was Tony Vitello after the game last night.
That used to be cute back in the day, a couple of months ago. It's sort of like, yeah, he's optimistic, and he sounds like an absolute coconut who fell off the turnip truck.
Well, this is, if I were to give a critique of Tony Vitello, it is that I would like him to be more, I guess, maybe raw with this team. And Carter and I were talking about last week, like, we would like to see him call guys out more, but he has been doing that. And that's where we get in. That's where the whole comments of he's managing scared pops up. He wants to keep an upbeat attitude. He wants to look on the bright side. I get that. A very generous usage of the word capable there, but the reality is, Dan, like, is this team capable of being better? In theory, yes. This lineup, I think, should be a lineup with a better record than what they have. This pitching rotation is, well, now that Webb and Ray are pitching well again, and Landon Roop's had two solid starts in a row, Trevor McDonald is okay. Like, the rotation is a rotation that should be on a better team, that should be that of a better team. This bullpen is a black hole of misery and just sadness.
It's the worst bullpen ever.
In their first 40 games of the year, Dan, this team was 16-24. That is a 65 win pace. In the 41 games they have played since then, they are 17-24. That's a 67 win pace. They are a 66-96 team, basically, all year long. There is no hot stretch that they've had that you can point to. This team is very much a product of their record and what they are. I don't know how you could sugarcoat anything about this other than the fact this is a team that has underperformed at best, is incapable of going on any sort of prolonged run more than three games.
Do you know who Don Zimmer is?
Yeah, former Yankees coach who got thrown to the ground by Pedro.
If Tony...
Among other things.
Tony Vitello looked like Don Zimmer, because Don Zimmer's a former manager. I think he managed the Cubs. If he looked like Don Zimmer, and I invite everybody to look up Don Zimmer, if he looked like Don Zimmer, sort of out of shape, funny-looking face, with that, you know, that military cut.
The round head. Yeah, the dude had some cheeks on him.
Yeah, if he looked like Don Zimmer and was doing the exact same thing, exact same one-loss record, managing the exact same way, we would be calling for this dude's skull.
I would push back on that because Gabe Kapler had people calling for his head for quite a while, and he was also a very good-looking guy. So I don't know if it goes that deep with it. I think Giants fans do see the fact that Tony's in a no-win situation. I think they can understand the nuance. Now, that doesn't mean that Tony's the right option. You could say that it's not Tony's fault, but he's not the solution either. I think that's a very fair take to have.
I think that this dude is getting a pass, and I don't understand why.
I don't know if it's a pass more, if it's just recognizing that there's just worse things.
But
if he
had, part of the problem.
If he had last year's bullpen and they still are looking like this, then yeah, I think he's not getting as much of a pass. But he just wasn't given a good team. Like, and, Dan, if I gave you a bag of sticks and rocks and said, bake me a cake, can I get mad at you if you don't bake me a cake?
Is there anything about his personality that instills some sort of confidence or provides any sense of professionalism or a guy that you feel as though is going to be a leader for years to come? He seems just like what it is that I've said all along. He is who he is, and that is a college manager who is pretty successful. Hey, Posse, when you get a chance, no more Oswald Bates. Let's just hear some Gomer Pyle. Or if you can find a clip from Forrest Gump, that's who he is. He's Gomer Pyle.
Life is like a box of chocolates.
No, that's Mitch.
That's Forrest Mitch.
I've
right
always
there.
Had the skinny legs. School kids.
Oh, hey, my God.
Oh, time out. Whoa, Mitchy.
But I don't think it's just he looks good. I do think that there is just more nuance on just.
It's because you're not aware of it. Like, is this like
I think I'm pretty aware of it. I'm there a lot. I see what's going on around this team. Listen, you ask
you
what he brings to the
perspective. You
ask what he brings to the team. I do think that what he's trying to bring.
But wait a minute. This is like it's taken you about 2.5 hours to come up with something because I asked this a long time ago.
No, what he's bringing, kind of said it, but no, what he's bringing to the team, he's trying to bring a new energy and culture to this team and shake off whatever doldrums this team had last year. As far as what he brings in game, intellect, stuff like that, I think we're still trying to figure out what that is. I do. And halfway through the year, maybe we should know, possibly. But again, yeah, you're asking what he brings. I think a lot of what he was supposed to bring was intangibles. I think that was what they expected from this team. That's what I thought that this team needed, was just a swift kick in the pants instead of a guy saying, yeah, we got to go back out there tomorrow, unfortunately. Instead, he's going to just bring more fire, more energy to this clubhouse. That has not worked, and I don't think that he really knows what buttons to push now to get a better boost out of this team than he's been able to get.
I think they overreached. They went from Bob Melvin and said, well, we need energy. Exactly. What do you got, Pasta?
Well, I was just going to say, I think Sean in Fremont had the point, and I told Devone this before, about a big part of Tony Vitello's job at Tennessee and a big part of every college coach's job is the recruitment aspect. And he's a world-class recruiter, and that means spending the holidays on the road and going to a kid's, you know, house and kitchen and spending time with the family, getting to know the family, getting to convince them and convince the department to throw money at them and saying that Tennessee's the best fit. And he was stripped of that power once he got into professional baseball. The manager doesn't have to recruit draft picks anymore. Free agency's a lot different. I don't think Tony Vitello is necessarily a sell to someone like Kyle Tucker. So a big part of his superpower and what made him appealing, I think, at Tennessee, he just doesn't have any more. So I think that needs to be taken into account as well.
That is a good point.
Coming strong.
That is a good point. And I think,
sit here, Pasta?
To your point, though, Dan, as far as the infield X's and O's, the in-game X's and O's, though, it's hard to find a plus right now. I do like when he kind of gives his starters a chance to kind of get that extra out or go that extra inning and show that belief in him. I do think he's very good at showing belief in his players. I think he's very good at kind of wanting to fight for and go to bat for his players. How much that matters in the grand scheme of things, though, I guess that is debatable. But right now, yeah, it's hard to find redeeming qualities of Tony Vitello 81 games in a season that's just been so absolutely miserable. But when I have a hard time pointing at Tony when Willy Adames is the one who's putting in lackluster fielding efforts at times. It's hard for me to point at Tony Vitello when Rafi Devers isn't running out pop flies, or when Rafi Devers just going through month-long slumps and pouting on the base paths and waving off pinch runners. Like these are so many things that have just kind of gotten so blown out of just control here. And maybe that is a part of just Tony in the inexperience not wanting to seize control of this team. Like I think a lot of people want him to.
Yeah, and the inexperience is something that, again, I think that there are so many candidates, especially when it comes to Major League Baseball, that you didn't have to do this.
Yes.
You didn't have to get a guy who
especially when Buster himself is so inexperienced.
And when you're allowing somebody to learn on the job, are you kidding me? That's not what we do at the Major Leagues. And
in a big league market like
this.
This
isn't about, well, he's got a learning curve. No, man, you've got to come in and it's plug and play. I'm sorry. And he ain't that guy. And I don't know if he'll ever get there. But I would not. There's no way in hell I would roll him back out there next year and then say, you know what? In the middle of next season, should there be baseball next year? Oh, Tony Vitello's just like, it ain't happening. I can tell you right now, just listening to the guy, he does not have the personality. That's what this comes down to. It's what kind of dude are you? What kind of guy are you? And you listen to him, you're like, yeah, go back to the SEC. That does not translate.
What would he have needed to say last night after 81 games for you to be like, you know what? All right, now you're being real.
Not that. Yeah. Not that. I don't know what, but
Yeah, when he said that in that moment, I was just like, again, that's just capable of doing anything is just not the word that I would use. And again, you're trying to put out a front. You're trying to, you know, polish up a turd, so to speak. I get that. There is a level, and this is, again, my biggest frustration with Tony off the field is I would like him to hold his players a little bit more accountable when he talks to the media. Steve Kerr does it all the time. Kyle Shanahan does it all the time. Those are two coaches that Tony should absolutely be trying to emulate because those are two coaches who are very good at what they do. I would say the biggest kind of, I guess, failure of Tony's tenure so far is that I just don't feel like he's taken that full-on control of the clubhouse that you would like to see from a manager. And maybe you got to retinker the roster around him to give him that second chance to give him that second chance.
Yeah, that you're sort of contradicting yourself. That's either have that in the gene pool in the DNA or you don't. Like being able to take over a locker room and being authoritative, it's either you can do that or it's not something that you learn, I don't believe. Again, this just comes down to personality traits. And that's how managers
are successful. I think there's going to be moments where it all starts to click in. Like when he left Logan Webb in a couple weeks ago, and everyone gave him an ovation for it. It seemed like that was a moment where Tony made a mistake earlier in the week. He corrected it, and it seemed like, okay, now we can get rolling here. But then everything else happens with Rafi afterwards, and it kind of undoes all of that there. He's had moments where you think he's taken that step forward, and it just hasn't happened. And what you've gotten is a very dysfunctional product here. I want to believe that he can turn it around. I do believe that he has the kind of personality that can win over a clubhouse. This clubhouse, I don't know. That's why I think maybe, again, if he was on a smaller market team or a younger team that doesn't have as many established players, that would have been easier for him. And that's where I could see him being in a situation where, yeah, he could succeed as a big league manager. The reason why it's not so much giving Tony Vitello a pass, it's more so just acknowledging that if he's in a situation that he's just not cut out to be in, it's kind of hard for me to get mad at him. That doesn't mean that he's the right answer. It just means that he may not be the problem, but when he's not the solution either, you're in this weird kind of no man's land with him where you want to think, well, maybe there is a solution within the Giants that can work for him. You don't want to give up too soon. But at the same time, there gets to a point, he kind of said at the end of that cut here, the urgency starts to ratchet up here, and he's saying everything's day-to-day. I don't know what he means by day-to-day, by the way.
Nobody knows what the hell he's talking about.
That is the problem, and those things are starting to get, you know, they're wearing it. Again, I want to see it out the rest of this year and see how the full season plays out.
Before, it's only going to get worse.
Probably. It might not. Probably will, but it might not.
He just does not have...
I want to see what this team looks like on August 4th, the day after the deadline. If this team looks very similar now as it does then, or then as it does now, then I think, yeah, the writing's on the wall. You'll be right. I'll have been wrong to have put the faith in Tony.
Sam, a major league manager, any coach at the professional level just does not sound like this guy. It's not that he's saying anything wrong. It's just like he does not have the personality to lead young men. I can just see it, man. You can just hear him. And the way he talks.
Well, he showed some personality to be able to lead young men. I mean, you have to have some sort of baseball expertise and knowledge to have success in the SEC.
Okay, to lead men, rather, at the major league level. He just does not have it. I can listen to the dude, and I can just tell you that ain't the guy, man. And to And I'm not even going after him for all the blatant mistakes he's made as a field manager. I'm just telling you as a guy, that's just not it. And it's getting to the point now with him quoting from the movies, he just sounds so out of place. It's Gomer Pyle trying to manage the San Francisco Giants in 2026.
I think he's trying to defuse situations there.
What do you need to do with Rafael Devers? He should have done again at Pat Murphy. He needed to get
he needed a nip in the bud, right? And that is where, again,
he
yeah,
should have
the
just
failures
simply said, we do not tolerate that.
Yeah. He should have
that
benched.
That was embarrassing. This is the San Francisco Giants. You don't do that, and you're benched for a game or two or what have you.
He could have done that to Willie Adames back in LA when he forgot the amount of that was the if he had benched Willie the next day, then yeah, I think his Q rating goes up. I absolutely agree. He has had a chance to up his Q rating, and I think take charge there, and he hasn't. And that's probably been the biggest disappointment this year is the opportunities he's had that have gone by the wayside there. Fortunately, has not worked out for him. I want to believe, Dan, maybe it's the delusional Giants fan in me, but that's what we love about the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. You know, we're a show of delusional fans for all the other delusional fans out there. And then there's you, the voice of reason.
Well, we still have Dalton Rushing you can pick.
Dalton Rushing, really quick. If I'm Shohei Ohtani, I'm requesting a trade. Get me off that team. I do not want to be around that absolute cancer that is Dalton Rushing.
Wasn't that hilarious?
I am bursting into Andrew Freeman's office if I'm Shohei, and I'm saying, trade me to an American League team on the East Coast.
Oh, you mean trade him?
If I'm Shohei, I am requesting a trade.
Oh, he's never going to leave it.
It's kind of like the Draymond Green, Jordan Poole situation. In this situation, Shohei is Jordan Poole, Dalton Rushing is Draymond Green.
No, what I could see him saying, get Dalton Rushing out of town. I didn't see him.
Well, no, what is that going to solve?
Well, did you see what Dalton Rushing did?
He pissed off Shohei because he wouldn't challenge pitches or something.
Yeah, also the pitches that he was calling.
Yeah.
And Shohei took that little monitor from him. So I'm calling him. I mean, it was bad. They got really bad. And he was crossing up. They were on the same page.
And he's going to marry himself, that guy, for the next 10 years of his career or however many years he has left with that team? No. If I'm Shohei, I want off that team right now. That's the only logical solution I can think of.
Well, he's still the backup catcher.
They just can't be teammates together. it just doesn't work out anymore. So the only option you have is to trade Shohei. It's just, hey, Dan, I don't make the rules. I just, make them up as I go. This has been a fun edition of the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. Dan, thank you so much for coming on today. Thank you for everyone who called in. Steven Rizzotto, good job there. Hey, maybe today's the day that fresh 81 games. We'll turn it around and everything will be all hunky-dory and then it'll rain candy canes.
Hunky-dory, that's something to look forward to. I'm sure that's going to be coming out of the pie hole of one Tony Vitello pretty soon.
Well, hey, they're capable of anything. So,
Little-ass bully.
Thanks for all that guy, Brandon Ayuk. Oof. Anyway, Dodgers suck.
Later, dudes.